At Domino's, we're more than pizza, so mix it up with our specialty chicken, stuffed cheesy bread, sandwiches, pastas, medium two-topping pizzas, and more for just $5.99 each, and we'll mix stand-up comedy with a robot.
Stuffed cheesy bread and my act have a lot in common. They're both super cheesy. Tough crowd.
You can also mix it up with Domino's salads, marbled cookie brownie, bread twists, and medium two-topping pizzas. Order any two or more for just $5.99 each. Two-item minimum. Bone-in wings, handmade pan pizza, and bread bowl pasta will be extra. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Okay, welcome in to the latest Duly Noted Postcast. Of course, we're going to talk about the Florida-South Carolina game. Look ahead to some of the other things that are going on. Three things, all that stuff coming up. Matt Baker from the Tampa Bay Times will join us. Matt's a good buddy and does a great job covering the whole state of Florida for that newspaper. And he's also a fellow AP voter like myself. So, and the AP vote still, my vote this week, again, was the same thing as, like, when you get past the top 10, you really struggle because there are so many teams with two and three, four losses. I did not rank Northwestern, I will tell you that, and Matt did. I should ask him about that, but I'll probably forget because he went to Northwestern. So I believe he did. But anyway, I didn't rank him because 6-4, and I'm going to get to the whole thing about some of the scenarios we have. But first, let's talk about the Gators in South Carolina. What an unbelievable day. I mean, it was one of the most incredible games you'll ever see. And as I wrote, and I believe, that's why you go to the games. And I'm going to write an entire column in Saturday's paper about why you should go to the Idaho game. But I don't care if you go or not. It's not up to, you know, you have your own options on why you may or may not go, and it can be just you don't want to go, and that's fine. This is a free country, at least for now, and you can do whatever you want. And if you don't want to go, that's fine. I get it. And if nobody wants to go, and Florida has 30,000 people Saturday, it's not going to affect my job. But I'm going to still comment on it, and I'm still going to talk about it, and I'm going to give you the 10 reasons why you should go in Saturday's paper. And but I think I've gotten off on a tangent already, and we're barely into the show. All right, so this game, you had the same situation you had last week where the crowd wasn't great at the start of the game especially, and then it built up and ended up at 82,000, and I think that's a hard count. They've told me at Florida that they're doing hard counts this year, no more, you know, well, we sold this many tickets, blah, blah, blah. But the point I was making a long time ago was that this is why you go to the games, man. You go to the games because you want to be able to go. You want to be able to walk out of that stadium. And there's no guarantee. It's all unscripted. That game was a perfect example how it's unscripted. You'd like to say, hey, here's what we'll do. We'll have the home team fall behind 31-14. We'll have the quarterback for the home team get booed and then react to it and then lead the team back to win the game, and we'll have the team that can't all of a sudden get a turnover at the end of the game. How about that? Is that going to work for you? But they're not scripted. That's the thing. And we have no idea what you're going to see, but that's why you want to be able to walk out of that stadium and go, I can't believe what I just saw. I can't believe Florida won that game. I'm so happy. Let's go have something to eat and something to drink and enjoy this one. Now, after last week, a lot of you didn't feel that way. You know, you walked out of the stadium going, I can't believe how bad our team has become. But that's the thing, there was actually a bigger crowd for this game by 1,000. But one reason was because South Carolina brought people, and they brought a band and everything. That's a big factor in attendance. Not a huge factor, but it's a piece of the puzzle. But I'm not going to talk about attendance. I'm not going to sit here and talk about crowds and everything all day. Let's talk about the game, which obviously, I got to tell you, I had the Ginsu knife out ready to carve this team up as a team that had quit giving energy and, you know, had just maybe packed it in. I was ready. I was ready, like a lot of people probably were, like a lot of you fans were. And again, if you want to boo anybody, that's fine. boo the coordinator, who happens to be your head coach. Boo the quarterback, who's a 20-year-old guy who has family and everything. Boo them all you want. That's your right. Nobody's going to kick you out of the stands for booing. I don't see how it helps. I never have. It didn't affect that game. Or did it? Did it make Felipe Franks play that much harder? I don't know. I mean, he's an emotional guy. That's part of his problem, is he's too emotional. He gets carried away with mistakes. He gets upset when he screws up, and sometimes he doesn't let it go. In this case, maybe you guys helped Florida by booing. But don't make it a habit. You can. You're allowed. Look, you're allowed not to go to the game, and you're allowed to boo. What you're not allowed to do is be obnoxious, curse around kids, spill your drink on people. You know, we all know the things you're not supposed to do. Use racial epithets, all that. But if you want to boo, that's fine. I don't like it personally. I think the recruits hear that, and I think that's why it's such a negative. But so this game starts, and here goes the same kind of thing we've been seeing. I had the stat in my column today. Florida's gave up in the first five games 19 points in the first half. In the last five games, 96. They can't stop anybody early in games for some reason that nobody, you know, really has a great answer for. I gave a bunch of answers. I think a little bit of having to do with people are figuring out Grantham's defense now that they've had a lot of tape to watch. I think maybe this team's gotten a little bit worn out defensively, especially in the back seven. It feels like David Reese is out there all the time. It feels like the secondary guys never get a break because of all the things that have happened. There are a lot of reasons, but that's not a reason why you would start a game so bad. And I believe that sometimes it comes down to effort and the lack maybe of leadership on this team that we talked about last week. Now, so all that happens, they go down 14-0. You're like, here we go again. It's the same old thing. And then Florida comes back, ties the game, and we get the now infamous Felipe shushing the crowd and telling them to shut the bleep up. He was very emotional about it. He later said, I probably shouldn't have done that. Coach Mullen said he probably shouldn't have done that. But he did it. And it didn't affect the game because what had happened right after that? South Carolina right back down the field and scored. And that's when you kind of went, they can't stop them. It doesn't matter if Florida does get it going offensively. But second half starts, what do you get? Good stop, three and out. All right, good job, guys. Well, actually, it was just Florida had their possession and then South Carolina theirs. And Kadarius Toney, who had an unbelievable game, had one huge mistake, fumbled a punt. This is why I'm not big on Kadarius Toney running back kicks. Punts. Now, Freddie Swain will be back this week, hopefully. And that's the guy you want back there. He's more sure-handed. They finally, after that fumble, they put Van Jefferson back and they said, just fair catch everything. Because we're not going to try to hit one. We're just going to try to field the punt. And the funny thing was, on that punt, Florida showed rush. They had nine guys. We're coming after it. And then backed off to set up the return. And he dropped it. So they get a field goal out of that. And then, of course, then they drive right back down the field again. And now it's 31-14. And anybody, I think, who's watching this team is like, well, this is just Birmingham Bowl got written all over it. Like, I tweeted that out. Maybe I shouldn't have. But then all of a sudden, Florida just cranks up the run game. And they hit a couple of passes. They cut it to 31-21, and they cut it to 31-28, and they drive down the field and score again. Felipe running in from the one, and then they get the pick at the end of the game, and all of a sudden Florida's won the game, and you're sitting there and you're going, whoa, what? What happened? But that's cool. And look, it means a lot, I think, to this program. But think about this. Florida's come back from 17-18 down, and I was looking at their media guide, and they only go back to 66 in terms of comebacks. And I think Florida's had five double-digit comebacks to win games ever. Well, at least back to 66. Now they've had two this year. That's pretty. I mean, when you look at this season, it really is has been interesting. There's no way we can say it hasn't been interesting. Certainly, nobody liked what happened at against Georgia. Nobody liked what happened against Kentucky. Nobody liked what happened against Missouri. But when you overall look back at this season, you're going to like it. But I'll tell you the one thing that can spoil it is losing in Tallahassee. But that's for next week. That's for the stories for next week. I think it's the biggest game Florida's had in a long time, even though FSU stinks on ice. But I'll get to that later. Right now, I got to take a break. Then we'll come back. We'll talk more about this game, also some of the other games in the SEC. The new Heisman. I'm telling you, the Heisman's changed. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com.
If you're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast, chances are you didn't win the Mega Million Dollar Jackpot. That's okay. Betsy Pepine. Write that down. Pepine, P-E-P-I-N-E, the top realtor in Gainesville, is giving you the next best thing. Two free tickets to this week's game in the Swamp and a $50 gift card to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch all the games on Sunday. All you have to do is send them an email with the subject line tickets and you're entered to win. Or call 352-226-8474. 352-226-8474. We'll make a drawing and notify the winner on Friday. No purchase necessary to win the tickets and gift card. And if you don't win this week, we'll keep you entered for the next week's drawing. Send your email to info@pepinerealty.com. P-E-P-I-N-E realty.com. The tickets are courtesy of Betsy Pepine, Gainesville's number one realtor. If you want top dollar for your home, now is an absolute great time to sell your property. Call Betsy, 352-226-8474. 352-226-8474. For a free comprehensive market analysis on what your home is worth. And good luck from Pepin Realty. Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game to see the Florida Gators.
That was the loudest the stadium ever was. That was a South Carolina game that Jarvis Moss blocked the kick to end the game. I had walked over at the Gator Walk, and he came walking through, and I had touched his hand, and then he blocked it with that hand, so I was totally good luck.
Put yourself in the action with Ticket City. Visit Gatorsports.com and click tickets.
Okay, so what does it mean? Let's figure out what it means that Florida won this game. Okay, it means they're 7-3. It means they'll probably be 8-3. It means they got a chance to go 9-3, which means they have a chance to win 10 games. That's big. All that stuff is big. What does it mean as far as bowls? I don't know. And here's why I don't know. I talked to a bunch of people on Sunday. People who know, right? They don't know. They think they all had their opinions. But if you talk to five people and they're all pretty big wigs in terms of the bowl thing and in terms of athletic department, and they give you five different answers, you kind of come away and go, it's still fluid. Now, I will say this. There are a lot of people who believe Florida's going to Gator Bowl almost no matter what. And that may discourage you. It discourages me, but not because I don't like Jacksonville or the Gator Bowl, but I'd prefer to go somewhere different, you know, than go back to Jacksonville for that game. I'll find something to do. I think that I've already got a tee time at the Players TPC, but it's not the same as going somewhere kind of cool, you know, and that can still happen. It's still going to come down to when you look at the rankings. The college football playoff rankings, Florida needs to sneak into that top 12. Even then, some things could happen that will keep them from being in the peach. There is an outside chance. And I told this to my wife, and she freaked out because she's like, she didn't know what to think of it because she loved to go. One of the best times my wife and I and my daughter, Kelsey, have ever had was at the Fiesta Bowl. And in fact, she and I have been there twice, as you guys know. And then my other daughter from L.A. could get out of the fires and come over and see us too. So that would be great. Is there a chance? Yes. Is it a good chance? Not even close. It's slim. But it's not none. None I don't like. Slim I like. Slim I can live with. Could end up in the Peach Bowl. Could end up mashed up with UCF. We'll see. But, and like I was told by somebody, that there's a rule that you can't go to the same bowl outside of the New Year's Six two times in 3 years. Then I was told by somebody that's not true at all. Then I was told by somebody this, and Florida could still end up in the Citrus, whatever it's called now, the Outback, the Gator. I don't think Florida will go to like the Belk or the and they're in the Birmingham Bowl, for example, is out. The lower bowls like that. But the I would love to go, for selfish reasons, to say the Liberty Bowl, because Memphis is great, Beale Street's great. I would love to go to Charlotte for the Belk Bowl, have great friends up there. But Florida doesn't want to do that. Florida wants to stay in the state for recruiting, for their fans, unless they go to the Peach or unless they go to the Fiesta. So what is in the end, what do we come up to, what conclusion? We have no idea where Florida's going. I'm going to be curious to watch the rankings tonight, taping this on Tuesday, a little later than normal on Tuesday, because I had some other things to do. So by the time you listen to this, you may already know where they are, but I'm curious to see where they are in relationship to Kentucky. And a lot will depend on, first of all, if Florida loses to FSU and beats Idaho, they're probably going to the Gator Bowl. I don't see a scenario where they're not. Just because there'll be enough really good teams that are more attractive, maybe to the Outback and Citrus. Because you got to remember, a lot depends on what happens. Like, I saw one projection today. You had three teams from the SEC going to – well, they had Alabama in the playoff. They had Georgia, I think it was in the Sugar, and LSU in the Peach. Now, they're all guessing. But that could happen, and that bumps Florida up a slot, right? So we, you know, I guess the bottom line is, and maybe you don't care. Many of you out there may say, Duels, let's get to something else. Come on, man. Let's talk about the fact that it's Robbie's birthday today. And the Beatles wrote a song about him, and my birthday's tomorrow. They wrote a song about both of us. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me? Because we're both going to be 64. I am tomorrow. Robbie is today. Let's talk about that. No. I'm going to bring up this bowl stuff because it's interesting to me, because I care where I go. But maybe you're like, whatever bowl game, whatever, I'll watch it, you know, whatever. Beat FSU is all I care about. Yeah. Like if I said you beat FSU, but then you lose in the bowl game and you lose to UCF or you lose to Michigan again or whatever, I think you'd still take it. I'm getting way ahead of myself, I think. All right, so one good thing about the defense that I saw in this game is that after they made it 31-14, they only gave up 38 yards the rest of the game. So the effort was there. The problem with this team is effort seems to come in spurts with them, and execution comes in spurts with them. You know, this team, to let Deebo Samuel catch a slant and go 89 yards. And I will say this, though. Hats off to C.J. Henderson for running him down. Now, they eventually scored, but you run down Deebo Samuel, and it's funny because I heard the announcer from South Carolina, Todd Ellis, who does a great job, saying, he's gone. And I'm like, no, he's not. That guy's fast. So anyway, like the defense has fallen so far in these last three or four games, and maybe they're getting tired. Maybe they've figured them out. Maybe they're just playing better teams, offenses. And I think that's part of it too. But the good thing is Florida's not exactly playing, you know, Alabama Saturday, Idaho, 4-6 record. And then FSU, which could very well have a 4-6 record. So maybe they can get some stats back. But the main thing is they have to get to 7-3, probably 8-3, to me is very impressive. If I sound a little bit disjointed today, I really can't explain it, except that I went to the gym today and really spent too much time in the steam room. And I'm a little bit loopy. Hopefully, I'll be able to overcome it. My thoughts aren't congealing. You know what I mean? All right, two things, and then we'll go to break. We'll bring Matt Baker. And number one, I believe the Heisman Trophy race is open again. I didn't think it was. I thought it was over with Tua winning it. He was okay against Mississippi State. That's two games in a row where he's been fine, but not extremely great. And you look and you go, well, who has he been great against? Not the greatest teams. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the Heisman. Right now, if I voted, he would get my vote. But what Kyler Murray did against, obviously in a tough game because ended up against Oklahoma State coming down to a two-point conversion, and what Will Greer's been doing, I think it's open now. Like I said, if I voted today, I would vote Tagovailoa 1, Murray 2, Greer 3. But don't forget, next week, you got Greer versus Murray. And I think that that's probably where game day will be next week. As many good games as there are. And a great shootout there. And they kind of, and Alabama sleepwalks through beating crappy Auburn. You never know. You never know. Also, good news for everybody who believes in karma. Bobby Petrino fired at Louisville. He's just not a good person. And it's been hard for me because I wanted Louisville. I like Louisville as a football program, but since he got there, I rooted against him because I don't like him. Does that make any sense at all? I am getting loopy. Anyway, I think there are a lot of sports writers, and I think there are a lot of people raising a glass Sunday. And I saw somebody tweet this out, and I totally agree with them. That when a head coach gets fired from a job, we all gonna go, God, you feel for his family, you feel for this, you feel, you know, I know he's gonna make millions of dollars on his buyout, but it's humiliating to get fired. You feel bad for that. I don't think there's one person feeling bad for him. Not one. All right, let's take a break. Let's bring in Matt Baker from the Tampa Bay Times. When we come back after that, we'll talk about some of the games over the weekend, other games, and three things. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com.
At Vistar, we believe in better. Better convenience. So members can bank any way they want. Whether it's at a branch, on a mobile device, or at one of more than 20,000 fee-free ATMs across North America. We believe that people have better things to do with their time. If you believe that convenience is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
Okay, welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast. Appreciate everybody for clicking on. Right now, we are joined by Matt Baker from the Tampa Bay Times. Covers college football in this state. Some Florida State. Maybe even, you never know, he might get caught up in the UCF euphoria this week. Will you be here for the Idaho game?
I will not be there for the Idaho game. I will be in Tallahassee where the Seminoles, I believe it's 36-year NCAA record bowl streak, is in serious, serious jeopardy. They're against Boston College, who may or may not be without their starting quarterback. He's dealing with an abdominal injury. I don't know that it matters, given how Florida State has been blocking all season and the way their offense and the way their defense has looked the last couple weeks too. So I will be potentially witnessing history up at Doak.
Yeah, and I think Florida fans are hoping you do, because then the Seminoles will have nothing to play for next Saturday in that lovely noon game that we have. I mean, like, I'm with you on Florida State. Obviously, the offensive line is the biggest problem. But I am surprised with the talent they have on defense that they have played so poorly.
Yeah, that makes two of us, and I'm sure there's a whole lot more than that. I think some of it, there's got to be a motivation factor in there, too. They've just been so bad. Their season has not gone the way they expected. And after a certain point, you kind of start to pack it up. We saw that for sure against Clemson, and Willie Taggart admitted straight up that some of the players quit. So I think there might be some of that hangover. there's certainly the possibility some of those guys are getting ready and preparing for the draft. Because, again, that's something that we saw last year. Derwin James and Josh Sweat in particular kind of just packed it in and did, you know, skip the bowl game. They said, all right, we're all done. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of that going on, just in addition to the fact that they are an absolute mess culturally, schematically, personnel, coaching, anything else that I'm missing.
Well, and we saw this here last year, almost exactly. I mean, Florida, there was a lot of quit in the Gators after McElwain was fired. And you saw a team go out there against Missouri, for example, and not have any concern about whether they were going to win or lose. But this year it's been different. And we've seen two of the great comebacks in Florida history. It's been, I was telling somebody earlier, it's just kind of been a weird year with the Gators this year.
Yeah, it really has. It might get weirder. I mean, I'm not expecting anything particularly interesting other than maybe on the Emory Jones front against Idaho, and I would expect the Gators to handle Florida State pretty handily at this point. But it's very bizarre to think that this Gators team has been so up and down, you know, beating LSU, getting killed by Mizzou, getting killed by Georgia. As we sit here today, they are very much in the thick of things potentially for a New Year's Six Bowl. I don't think that they're a top 12 team, but here we are. They're in a position to maybe break in and get a Fiesta Bowl or something.
Yeah, I talked about this earlier, but, I mean, isn't a lot of it – I mean, I think Gator fans should be watching the rankings tonight because you want to see Florida ahead of Kentucky, right? I mean, that's one of the biggest things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kentucky should be fine the rest of the year. The Louisville game, their rivalry is going to be one-sided. Louisville just fired their coach, and the Cardinals are god-awful. So, yeah, obviously that's one of the things to watch. But, again, look at some of the teams ahead of them. I don't think Washington State is going to win out. I think they're going to slip up once, maybe twice. You know, Ohio State, I would expect them to lose to Michigan. So maybe the Gators can leapfrog them. Same with West Virginia potentially as well. So it'll be very interesting to see where the committee puts them and where they have a chance of going down the line.
Now, one reason I want to have Matt on is, like myself, he is an AP voter, and I was just curious about some of the votes. And I know he and I talk every week about where we had teams.
Yep.
But I'm curious whether you – take it any less seriously once the committee starts coming out with their poll, because our poll then, you know, is rendered a little bit less important.
I mean, I take it seriously. If I didn't take it seriously every week, then I shouldn't be doing it, and frankly, I wouldn't be doing it. I mean, you know how our and no one wants to hear about sports writers complain, but you know what a grind football season is.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I'm going to be in Tallahassee for a 3:30 game. Get out of the press box late, drive to Lake City, get a couple hours sleep, get up early in the morning, go to the Panera there and file my rankings and do that for an hour, 2 hours, and then get home and go to the grocery store and start Sunday. I mean, it's, again, I'm not complaining. This is a wonderful job. But the fact is there's a lot that goes into it, and I wouldn't do it if I wasn't going to take it seriously. Now, your point there is very well taken, that it might not matter as much with the committee, but in terms of the kind of the college football history, the way people will be able to look back on this year, one of the ways to do that is through the AP ranking. So I think it still has an important role.
The breaking news is that there's a Panera in Lake City. I did not know that. So
there's a Starbucks too. Now, last time I was up there, the Starbucks was under renovation, so I had to go to Panera. But okay. they have both. Don't worry.
All right, that's good to know. In case, you know, I've been up there many times, Lake City, but not lately. Well, let me ask you about the big story this week, which is going to be a little bit of a manufacturer story because game day is going to UCF. And
Yep. You
and I have both, I think we've all struggled with our vote with UCF just because, yeah, they won, but yeah, they're still, what's their best win? And it's been kind of a hard to figure out where to put them.
Yeah, it really has. Cincinnati's pretty good, maybe even good, but I still don't know how much we're going to learn. Cincinnati's offense isn't great, but they do have a statistically very, very good defense. So they're absolutely going to be a test for UCF. Cincinnati's pass defense in particular, you look at the stats, they're, I think, top five in passer rating, opposed to passer rating, top five or top 10 in yards per attempt. So they're going to be able to challenge UCF. The type of team that's going to beat the Knights has good linebackers and a good secondary that can contain some of those passes, and is going to be able to control the ball on the ground too. And we saw a little bit against in the USF game last week, Cincinnati could run the ball. So they've got a team that could potentially give UCF trouble, even though the Knights have a lot more talent. But if that's the best win that UCF's going to have all this season, I'm still not going to feel great about knowing how good they are.
Do you think the fact that they're on ABC in prime time is going to change anybody's opinion of them?
I think it'll make it a little bit easier to watch them, because you know some of their games are on CBS Sports or at weird times where it's a little bit tougher. So I think on a national level, it'll be good for them to get that exposure. It's a cool environment. I mean, I covered a couple games over there, including the FAU game earlier this year. And that place is rocking. It's pretty nice. I mean, the press box is a little on the small side, and it literally kind of shakes a little bit, which is cool but disconcerting at the same time. I think it might give them a little bit more validity about, hey, this is a legitimate team, and we need to take them seriously.
What do you think the chances are that Florida, they will match up Florida and UCF in the Peach Bowl if Florida does climb into that top 12? And how much influence do you think Florida would have on making sure that doesn't happen?
Well, my understanding and how this works is the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, they kind of pick it. And I went through the mock selection a couple years ago, and the way it was done, it was more so you rank your teams and then you kind of fill it in from there. There's not a lot of thinking in terms of this is the matchup. It's just this is the way it kind of works. Here's your top SEC team. Here's your number two SEC team. What are the tie-ins and that sort of thing. So, I mean, maybe there's a way that, again, I'm not entirely familiar with all these things because I don't have any control over it. Frankly, I would love to see the Gators play UCF, though. That would make it a lot more fun to cover, a lot more easy stories.
Well, it'd be a lot of fun to cover. It'd be a lot of fun for during the week building up to it. Last thing for you, Matt.
Yep.
Now that USF has fallen off the face of the earth, have their fans let go? Because you were a guy that didn't want to rank them, and I went back and forth with them, and they were all over you.
Yeah, I haven't heard from USF fans very much lately. Their 7-0, I thought, was a soft 7-0 because they didn't destroy the teams they should have destroyed. I covered them when they barely beat East Carolina at home, and they didn't look very good. They didn't destroy UMass. UConn is terrible, and they didn't destroy UConn. So I could see that there were cracks there. I think, actually, USF is going to be one of the more interesting stories starting from probably Black Friday on, because Charlie Strong's future. Texas is still paying him through, I think, the end of this year in terms of the buyout. But then, you know, his contract at USF goes up accordingly because he's not getting that buyout money. So I don't know what his future is. Is he still kind of wandering eyes, wanting to go to a Power 5 school? Would USF want him to get a cheaper coach? I mean, there's some dynamics there that are going to be really interesting to see how it works in the coaching carousel.
Would Louisville take him back? Where he had a lot of success, you know?
I think the best thing Charlie has going for him, obviously, his career as a head coach has some pluses and minuses. He did great at Louisville. He's done fine at USF. Texas did not go well. The one thing I can say about him, though, is he runs a clean program. Mm-hmm. He cleans things up. And Louisville right now is an absolute dumpster fire in every way, shape, and form. It's the same thing with Maryland, which is why I could see the Terps kind of looking at him as a way to, let's fix the program, and if there are wins that come, great, but let's just take care and get things stable first.
Interesting stuff. We appreciate his time. Matt Baker from the Tampa Bay Times will be back with more of the Duly Noted Podcast here at Gatorsports.com.
The Gators are definitely on a roll under Coach Mullen, and next year should be even better. Winning is great for the program,
but not for everything. Did you know what winning also does? It creates difficulty finding hotel rooms around game day.
Oh, no.
Most hotels triple their normal rates and charge at least two nights minimum.
What?
And if the Gators really start winning, everything will be sold out way in advance.
No! No!
Have you ever thought about owning your own place in Gainesville to use for you and your friends and family on game day weekends? Call Betsy Pepin, the top realtor in Gainesville and sponsor of the Dewey Noted podcast at 352-226-8474. And she'll help you find that perfect place for whenever you come to Gainesville. And when you're not using the place, she'll Airbnb it and take care of all the details. Betsy makes it easy for you to enjoy game day weekends instead of paying five-star rates for a one-star motel. Own your game days next year. Call Gainesville's number one realtor, Betsy Pepin, today. 352-226-8474. 352-226-8474.
Okay, so welcome back to the Dewey Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. Appreciate everybody for clicking on. And ran into some more people that said stuff, nice stuff about the podcast. I appreciate it, okay? One of the dumbest things that happened last week was this laying the odds on whether the Alabama could beat the Bills. The great thing about it was then the Bills turned around and beat the Jets. So now, should we bet on the Jets? Look, college football and pro football are two different sports. They're not even the same sport. I don't know why this even has to come up, ever. It's like saying, oh, the worst team in the NBA and the best team in college basketball. No, they're different sports. They're pros. These are college guys. Quit doing that. I get, and like I know, I sound a little hypocritical because I'm always saying, well, I like it when, you know, talk radio, you've got this and this and this. It just got overblown last week to the point where I'm like, really? Just stop. Stop it. Alabama did get its second straight shutout, and you got to give them credit for that. They weren't overly impressive on offense, but if you remember last week, I gave you that as my lock of the week, Mississippi State getting 24. I think it actually went down to 21, but when I had it at 24, we pushed. So at least I didn't lose my lock of the week. That's good to know. Then we had, and the one good thing, or well, not the one good thing, the great thing about a noon game for me is I get home. I was going to go out with some friends, and then everybody's kind of tired. I said, I'm going to go home. My wife doesn't want to go out, so I'll go home. And she made us this feast, and we watched football, and it was great stuff. I mean, you had FSU, you had Miami, which I wanted to watch those games. I wanted to watch Auburn, Georgia. I wanted to watch I got to see the end of Oklahoma State, wanted to see Clemson, Boston College. It was really a fun night. That's what I guess it's like for you guys all the time, getting to watch all these games. But to watch FSU and Miami both lose, FSU, not surprisingly, FSU looked like a team that just wanted to get the hell out of there. It was too cold for them, and they wanted to go home. That tells you a lot about where they are mentally. Miami found a way to lose, and they just continue to find ways to lose. And so you've had three straight weeks of Florida State and Miami losing. Now, we know that Florida, FSU, and Miami had never lost two straight weeks until last week. And thank goodness Florida rallied, or would have been, that would really be embarrassing. But I don't know. I can't explain why FSU and Miami are as bad as they are. It makes no sense to me. They got better players than that. Willie Taggart may be a really bad coach. I don't know. I mean, I just know what I see. Mark Richt is a good coach, though. And he's got good players. He can't figure it out at quarterback, I guess. Now, the surprise of the day of the Saturday was Tennessee beating Kentucky. And in fact, I was in there writing my column. I always go back into the lounge because you can kind of watch a couple games and I can multitask. And when Robbie finally got done and came out, I go, you won't believe it. Tennessee is beating the crap out of Kentucky. I said, I wanted to pick Tennessee so bad. I knew Kentucky was going to – look, this is not abnormal for a team to play in one of these giant games and lose and come back and struggle. But with Kentucky, it was so predictable because they've had so few of these games in their history. In fact, many people thought it was the biggest game of all time at Kentucky. And I'm talking about last week with Georgia. Now you got to go on the road against a team that's getting better. Your offense is kind of not done much lately. And if you get behind, you're in trouble. And that's exactly what happened. Tennessee's getting better. I thought Jeremy Pruitt would do a good job there. And when I saw Tennessee, obviously week four it was, right, when they played Florida, and I was like, wow, this is a bad football team. But they've gotten better. And their win there, I mean, now you look at Kentucky and go, well, how do we kind of get fooled by them? Well, they were 7-1, and their one loss was in overtime. That's how we got fooled by them. But they're not good right now, and their offense is terrible. I think they're 119th in the country. Also in the SEC, the Georgia win over Auburn. I thought Auburn might make it, and they did for a long time. They made it interesting, but they're just not very good. And the classic was, and I don't know where this came from. I don't know if it's accurate. I don't know if it was photoshopped. We never know what to believe anymore. Was Gus Malzahn walking on the sideline saying, and you can read his lips saying, they better not fire me. Now, that could have been from a month ago, could have been a year ago, could have been when he was at Arkansas. I don't know. But if he's already, what are they going to do there? They just gave him an extension. I think they just have to gut it out. And that's the thing about the SEC right now. Who's going to get fired this year? Because we saw this amazing, upheaval on the coaching ranks, because you had a coach at Arkansas fired, coach at Florida fired. Tennessee firing Butch Jones. You had all those coaches changing up. I'm trying to think of the other ones because there were other ones, right? Please help me right here. Not Missouri, not maybe that was it. So you had several coaches. Oh, Texas A&M firing Kevin Sumlin. There's one more. I can't think of it for some reason. But anyway, you had all this upheaval. Might you have the same 14 guys at SEC Media Days this year? Who would be in trouble? You're not going to fire Chad Morris, obviously. They've got the worst team in the SEC. Is Derek Mason, would he be in trouble? Maybe. I mean, they played Missouri tough. I thought they were going to pull that game out. They didn't. You might end up with the same 14 guys, is all I'm saying. Obviously, this weekend is not a great weekend for college football. And people are blaming the SEC. I've heard this on multiple talk shows. People saying, well, you can't blame the other conferences. It's the SEC's fault for all these cupcake games. Yeah, look, I don't like it any more than anybody else that all these teams are playing cupcakes. And I think there is an answer, and I think the answer is the double bye week, which we'll have next year. But I would please make sure that one of those bye weeks was the week before the last week of the season, when a lot of these teams have rivalry games. And I get why they schedule the way they do. The SEC, obviously, as we all know, pushed to get games, some games on there, and they have. So there's three SEC games, SEC on SEC games. The trouble is Arkansas at Mississippi State, not doing much for you. Missouri, Tennessee's a CBS game. Ole Miss advantage. Those games aren't doing much for you. But if you look around at the rest of the conferences, you know, they're like Ohio State's playing Maryland, Penn State's playing Rutgers. It's not like they've scheduled all that great. Teams, and the excuse has been made, well, some of these games just turn out not to be that big a deal. There's not one game I look at. Now, there are a couple of big games. I think Texas, Iowa State's a fairly big game. As we all know, game day is going to UCF. That's a big game. But that's not I'm not even going to get into that. I'm not even going to get into it today. I'll get into it some other time. Maybe Thursday in the precast. But I just don't think the league has anything to be ashamed of. And it's working pretty well. Okay? this scheduling, the way they've done it with the eight games and everything, it's worked out pretty well. Which brings me to our favorite time of the day when we wrap this thing up with three things.
It's time for three things.
Number one on three things, this is why it brought me to it, is I've, like, every once in a while I have an epiphany about why there won't be an 18 playoff ever in my lifetime. And as we know, it can't happen for a long time. And this is where UCF people need to get off that. It's not going to happen, so forget it, okay? Your goal is to, like, in 4 or 5 years, get to an 18 playoff, and that'll get us in. Well, in 4 or 5 years, you could go back to your George O'Leary days and go 0-12. There's no guarantee UCF's going to maintain what they've been able to do. They got a generational quarterback. You know, I mean, he's unbelievable. That's not even the right word. Maybe it is. I don't know. As I said, I'm a little loopy today. All right. But here's the epiphany I had on why, and I'm going to write about this in my picks column, why you may never see an 18 playoff. And it's because of this year. Think about this. Everybody who comes up with an 18 playoff scenario always has the five champions of the conferences in, right? And then three at-larges. Including one from the not everybody believes one from the group of five, but a lot of people do. But the five champions, there's nobody ever argues that. Think about this year, because these things could happen. Pitt is in the driver's seat. I think they have to win one more game to win the Coastal. They're 6-4. They get into the championship game. Some strange things happen. They win that. Now Pitt could be literally 7-5, 8-5 in the college football playoff. Is that what we want? And I know what you're thinking, but I'll get to that in a minute. All right. Northwestern 6-4. They can lose out. But if they win the Big Ten championship game, they would be in the playoff, this playoff that we all have in our minds. Is that what you want? Because that would be 7-6 Northwestern in. And before you say, well, that's not going to happen. It could. Certainly could. And in the Pac-12, you got a bunch of teams battling for their Southern Division. Utah 7-3, Arizona State 6-4, Arizona 5-5, all battling it out. I'm not saying anything bad about these teams, but they could win the Pac-12, and now they're in the playoffs. What if all three of those things happen, and you had these three just to barely above 500 teams in the playoffs? Is that really what we want? No, I don't think so. I think we want to reward excellence still. So forget, I pretty much eliminated the 8-team playoff out of my brain. Unless you just said, look, it's still coming down to the top 8 teams. And I don't know that the conferences are going to want that. Because if you're, like, say, the Pac-12 right now, what are you saying? Well, let's go to 8 teams. Then we'll get a team in. We know we'll get a team in. We'll get to share in this. Oh, wait. But if our team's not good enough, they're not getting in. Forget it. We don't want that. So anyway, and I know some of you are thinking, well, that's what they do in basketball. I mean, there are teams that get in like at 13-18 because they win their conference. You know, 68 teams there, okay? 68 teams. This is 8. 68 teams, we can live with that, okay? It's part of the excitement of it. 8, it's not something I want to see. So am I totally, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm having a hard time today. Totally just dismissing an 18 playoff? I pretty much am. And I know there's a lot of people who disagree with me. And I'm going to talk about this. I always give a scouting report to the quarterback. I'm going to talk about it tonight. See how much booing I get. Hopefully not as much as Felipe Franks. Number two. My man, Ronald Acuna, wins the Rookie of the Year in the National League from the Braves. Yeah, good. And, you know, I'll think about it for 1 minute. I don't care about postseason awards in any sport, to be honest with you. MVP, baseball, basketball, NBA, MVP in football. They're great for those people. And maybe the fans of that team care a lot. But I was glad to see him win it. But really, it's... I guess I'm not even like, oh, I put team over individual. I just want my team to win games. Trophies and MVP awards and all that. For example, I've talked about this a lot. Who from Florida is going to make all SEC? And does it really matter if anybody does? I mean, it's good for those kids. You know, maybe Martez Ivey after the great game he had Saturday makes it. But does that really make your season any different? Eh, maybe it's just me. Maybe I got a problem. And finally, number three, Wednesday night, Florida basketball back in action against LaSalle. LaSalle's not very good. They've lost their first two games, close games, one against Temple. They've got some good players, though. Good enough to make Pookie Pals pretty good. They got another kid that scored 20 the other night. But mainly, what this is a one last chance for Florida to kind of figure things out with the rotation because they're playing so many guys. With get the shooting confidence back because they haven't shot the ball well from three. And then you go to the Bahamas next week, and which, while that's a blast, I would think, for people that are going, that's where you're playing. Now, it's kind of like the real deal now. And then you've, of course, got West Virginia down the line, Butler. So this is kind of the last chance to kind of get things right. And hopefully you'll be out there. I'll be out there on my birthday working. How about that? What a great guy I am. Not really. All right, that's going to do it for today's podcast, Duly Noted Podcast. Apologize if I got a little off track occasionally. I just kind of a little disoriented. Now I get to go write a basketball advance and then go speak to the quarterback club, which I always love. So that'll do it. Hope you guys enjoyed Matt Baker. Hope you enjoyed this. I'll be better on Thursday, I promise. With the precast. Well, look, we're not going to spend much time on Idaho. You know that. I'm going to come up with a good idea for the precast. Something interesting to talk about. Because we're not going to spend much time talking about Idaho. Okay? That's going to do it for the postcast. Pat Dooley, sports columnist of the Gainesville Sun, saying, I'm deep, I'm way back, and I'm out of here.